WildTalkRadio.com.
I only have one thing to say. It's great to be back on Monday Night Raw!
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
This is my yard now.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package would apply expertly by an expert wrestler like myself always works.
And Lindsay Ward, you're scared.
I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. You're going to find out why I am the boss.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
In what didn't seem to be an eventful show, turned out to be a very eventful show. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Raw Post Show. Live here on Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by GoWork.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. I'm Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Sup? It's Monday night! It means Monday Night Raw!
Yay!
And the evil sparkle fairy was in all her glory tonight on Monday Night Raw.
Oh my gosh, she was so on point tonight. Holy crap, was she on point tonight? So, I mean, God, nobody can touch her.
So you had the entire women's division, which it looked more impressive when it's not like five people. It's more than that overall. You had Mickie James, Dana Brooke, Emma, Nia Jax, Sasha Banks, Alicia Fox, and the very sad Bayley all in the ring. Alexa comes down, there's a podium in the middle, and this was her coronation as the new Raw Women's Champion. Bliss said a lot of people come out and refer to themselves as a queen, but the queen is dead. That's why there's a coronation tonight for her.
The queen is dead, long live the queen.
And now she's like the goddess of overall or something like that.
I think that's what she said, yeah.
She also said there were people she wanted to thank. She thanked Mickie James, and she's been watching her since she was a kid, and she's great, and, you know, her contemporaries, Mae Young and the Fabulous Moolah.
Alexa!
She thanked Sasha Banks, but noted that she heard what she said about not knowing who she was, and she introduced herself as the Raw Women's Champion, and the one who pinned her to get where she's at right now. And then Nia Jax was behind her, and it's like, we're good. We're good. You're awesome. You're good. Bye. And then she gets up on the podium, and then she starts to address Bayley. Go ahead.
Alexa flirting with her girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
In public.
It was a thing.
It was adorable.
Alexa was noting that Bayley had her entire family, not just her father, at Payback, and it was adorable. She said that when the referee raised her hand, she saw Bayley's nephews, and they were crying, and it almost threw her off, but she didn't let it happen. Bliss said Bayley's family now has a real role model to look up to, and she thanked Bayley for this because she's the one that made all this possible because she lost the title to her. So Bayley had enough after the role model comment and started going after Alexa, and then all the girls brawled. We went to break. This was awesome.
This was absolutely perfect. I love that they opened Raw with the women. I love that they opened with Alexa, like we said. She was on fire tonight. She's really, really hitting her stride right now. There's very few in that division that can touch her on the mic. I mean, she's just so perfect as a heel. And then just the way that she and Bayley play off each other, it was great. It's like, there you go, Alexa. There you go.
So what was supposed to be Bayley and Sasha versus Alexa and Nia turned into an 8-woman tag team match. Alexa, Nia, Emma, and Alicia taking on Bayley, Sasha, Mickey, and Dana. They gave these girls a lot of time. Basically, the first half hour of the show was the women's segment and the match. The match went about 15 minutes or so, 14, 15 minutes, with Team Alexa pulling out the win with a rake of the eyes and a DDT. Your winner's Team Alexa.
Points!
Yep. I got Emma points. I'm happy. But this was, it was a really good match. They actually, everyone shined really well. They kept Nia out of it for a while. It allowed everyone else to shine. This was good. Enjoyable.
I like the heck out of this. Like I said, I'm kind of in love with Alexa right now because there's very few that can do what she can do. And just, again, having the full women's division out there and actually seeing the depth of the women's division on Raw is really, really nice. I think the shakeup was good for it in that regard.
And here's the thing. With Alexa winning the belt, Bayley's now put in her best position, the underdog.
Yeah, she has that really strong heel to work against.
Right, and that's always been how the Bayley characters works best, is bouncing off of a really strong heel and being the underdog and getting the fans' sympathy. So that's where she's at right now, which was good stuff. Now to get through some matches, Luke Gallows and then took on Enzo Amore before the match. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson jumped Enzo and Cass. They had a match. Enzo looked alright, but Enzo ended up taking the pin against Luke Gallows, so Luke Gallows picks up the victory over Enzo Amore in a solid match.
Yeah, it was a good match. I mean, it was what it was.
TJ Perkins and Neville were talking about what happened at Payback, and everything went down there. We'll talk about Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack. And basically the point of the promo was, Austin Aries is our problem. It's not just a Neville problem, it's our problem.
Nice to know they share.
They share. So, Seth Rollins comes to the ring. He talked about he's feeling good and confident and everything like that, even though he got his butt kicked by Samoa Joe. And since he's now taking care of Hunter and he's beating Samoa Joe, he got his payback. He wants the Beast. I want Brock Lesnar. I want the Universal Championship. I've been to Suplex City and I'm not afraid to go back, said Seth Rollins, which was interrupted by Finn Balor, who congratulated Rollins for being the one-legged man who won at WrestleMania. But he was the one-armed man who became the first Universal Champion and beat Seth Rollins. Balor says he's never lost the title, so no offense to Rollins. The line starts here. Out came Dean Ambrose. And Ambrose came to the ring and said, Brock, 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 and said they sounded like a couple of chickens. Ambrose said Lesnar fights when he wants and where he wants, which isn't very often. But he's a fighting champion, and his title is the number one championship on Monday Night Raw. Out came the Miz. Miz basically wants the Intercontinental title shot. Finn brought up that he joined the Finn Balor just kicked my ass club. Miz said it was a cheap shot and called him a coward. So, as all this is going down, Dean Ambrose then said, everyone wants to see us. They all told Miz to shut up, and then Dean's like, you want to see Seth Rollins kick his ass, and Finn Balor, and me, and they all cheered. And Ambrose pulled the crowd and said, got the crowd into that, so everyone wants to beam up. Then he picked up his phone, called Kurt Angle, and Angle apparently wasn't very happy that he had his number, but Mick gave it to him anyhow. And Ambrose said Angle booked Miz versus Rollins versus Balor to become the number one contender for the Intercontinental title. This was weird. It was really good, but it was weird for the simple fact it started with going after the Universal title, and then somehow it became about the IC title.
Well, basically said because Brock wasn't there and he only shows up when he wants to show up, that the IC, that they really should be more concerned about the IC title and going after the IC title and, you know, basically they should be fighting over it versus the Universal title because it's not there. And that's a valid point. You know, basically Dean kind of hit the nail on the head where it's, well, the Universal title is non-existent at this point, so they should all be feuding for the IC title because it's now the number one belt on Raw.
Which I totally agree with. It felt a little weird because it was like, we want the Universal title, we all want Brock Lesnar, and then Dean Ambrose like, hey, I have a belt too. So it just came off a little weird, but I enjoyed it. We had 205 Live on Raw. Rich Swann, Akira Tozawa, and Jack Gallagher with Three Umbrellas took on Noam Dar, Brian Kendrick, and Tony Nese. Saw Team Gallagher win the match. Solid matchup. Also on 205 Live on Raw. Austin Aries beat TJ Perkins via submission. And then TJP attacked Austin Aries and locked him into his submission, injuring Austin Aries.
Things are eating up in the 205 Live area.
They are, and there's more action to come on 205 Live tomorrow night only on the WWE Network. Then out came the team of Cesaro and Sheamus, who have new coats. Almost matching, just two different shades of black, but almost matching coats. And Sheamus,
they're a proper tag team now.
They're a proper tag team now. It said it felt good to be free after living in a fog of a delusion for a couple months. He said that he never really liked any of them, you know, being a good guy. Sheamus said that the fans have treated him like a redheaded stepchild from the beginning.
Well, if the shoe fits.
Sheamus said he had his Cesaro sucks and believe he could be better with their support. Sheamus said WrestleMania was the turning point when the Hardy boys were added to the match and stole their moment. Fans start chanting Lindsay's favorite word, delete.
Delete.
Delete. Delete. Sheamus said, that was cute. Cesaro said the fans felt a rush of nostalgia, just like they do every time someone shows up when they should appreciate the people standing in front of them.
Not a lie.
Cesaro said they proved the Hardys are just a novelty act that doesn't belong in the ring with them. That's the tooth of it, Sheamus said.
Har, 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 har.
And he goes, sorry, Jeff, that's the truth of it. But they don't just set the bar. They are the bar.
They're going to the bar later.
Matt and Jeff came out. Matt, in his broken voice a little bit, in and out of it, he said they were waiting for the moment, the response. He said he was coming out, basically said, thanked them for their explanation, and then, well, they wanted to respond, so here they come, and he does the delete motion, and they charge the ring, and nothing happened because Cesaro and Sheamus left. I like the promo. I thought it was good.
I thought the promo was excellent.
And we're getting more taste of broken Matt Hardy. It's very conflicted Matt Hardy at this point.
He hasn't quite been broken yet. He's working on it.
So, in what became the theme of the night, Charlie Caruso was interviewing The Miz about the triple threat match. He talked about Seth Rollins costing Finn Balor 8 months of his career and a Universal title. And then Dean Ambrose showed up, because I was like, the mic's not near Miz's face. And it's like, oh, hi, Dean. And he asked Miz if the hair gel gets in his eyes when he wrestles. Miz and Maurice walked off. And then Ambrose sent it back to Gene and Bobby at ringside.
God, Dean.
That was the start of it. There's more to come. Heath Slater took on Apollo Crews, because there was a .com segment. So the Titus Brands, Apollo Crews beat Heath Slater in about 3 minutes. But the most memorable thing is they were taking a selfie, then Rhino photobombed it.
It was adorable. I like how Rhino's just, like, having fun.
Mm-hmm. So, backstage, Dean Ambrose is now talking to Seth Rollins. And, you know, we're in the locker room. It would be weird if there wasn't a microphone, because there's a camera here. And Ambrose had many different names for a network show. They were thinking about it. There's one with a lot of D's.
Dean really wants the D show.
He really wants a D show. He wanted also the Today Show or the Daily Show, but they were both taken. Ambrose asked Rollins whether Rollins thinks he has what it takes to take the title away from Dean Ambrose. Seth Rollins says, Dean Ambrose should know what he's capable of when he has his eyes on title. Ambrose said he also knows how far he will go to keep a title, and they were all talking in third person. Rollins said he learned some new tricks, and maybe Ambrose will be surprised. Dean's response, no, Dean Ambrose was surprised once. It can't happen again. Back to you, Gorilla. Finn Balor was headed to the ring, but Ambrose stopped him. He asked if he's nervous about the biggest match since he's returning. Balor said he produces results. He eats nerves and produces results, and said the IC title will come into the Balor Club. Ambrose hit him in a donut and said, for the love of God, man, eat a carb. So he took the carb, eat the donut, gave it back to him. Dean started eating the donut. The Drifter showed up. He asked if he could play some Pearl Jam, and there was that.
Nice little moment.
Golden Truth want to be on the Golden Quest. They want a tag title match. Next week is a gauntlet, a tag team turmoil for a shot at the tag team titles. Kurt Angle brought up their record doesn't hold up. It wasn't good enough to get a title shot. But you look at SmackDown.
On Raw, records matter.
On SmackDown, you can get a title shot if you only win one match in 8 months.
Ding!
So, in the ring, earlier in the night, was Kurt Angle. He came down to give an update on the Braun Strowman-Roman Reigns injuries, because both of them apparently are hurt. Apparently, Strowman tore his rotator cuff.
Like you do.
Like you do, because he ran through the door. Apparently, he tore it.
Well, he definitely tore the door.
Reigns re-injured his ribs and has a internal injury still. Angle said both men want one another. Angle said it's up to him to look out for them. That would be in the WWE Universe. He said he would have answers later, but he was interrupted by Bray Wyatt.
Kurt Angle and Bray Wyatt. Oh, God in heaven.
Bray Wyatt came out and said they haven't had the pleasure of being properly introduced. Mr. Angle, my name is Bray Wyatt.
Okay, I want to stop right there, because everybody's, like, making fun of Bray, because it's like, the boy has manners. Really? Really? You're shocked the boy has manners. Yes, he's a psychopath. Yes, he's a murderer. But the boy was raised with manners. He's Southern. I promise you Abigail raised him with manners before he kills people. Anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
He took the handshake. Wyatt said he understood Angle's apprehension, but he meant him no harm. I'm not here for destruction. Not yet. He was here to be the savior. Wyatt said he closed the chapter on Orton and will forever, he'll forever be trapped inside his house of horrors. Wyatt said he is reborn from the hell of his own creation like an angel with burnt wings. Wyatt told Kurt Angle he needs him. Wyatt asked Angle if he will allow him to do his work. Will he walk side by side with him, or will he stand in his way? Kurt Angle said he doesn't know what Wyatt has planned, but reminded him, Monday Night Raw is his show. Bray Wyatt was all laughing, hysterical about that, but it may be Kurt Angle's show, but it's his world.
Okay, this was really nice. This was a really good use of Bray Wyatt. They took the best parts of the House of Horrors. They sold it. They had Bray triumphantly strutting around because he's defeated Randy Orton. He's gotten his payback for everything that Randy did to him. So now Bray's here. He's sort of feeling cock of the walk. He's confident. He's going to come out and introduce himself to Kurt Angle because, well, the first time that Bray showed up live in person on Raw was last week.
Mm-hmm.
So, for storyline's sake, Bray hasn't been around to meet anybody, so he's going to go meet his new boss. I like that, you know, it's like, he's trying to be this really disarming, disturbing, charming individual that he is, because it's a side of Bray Wyatt that we don't necessarily always get to see, while mixing in that I'm going to burny, fiery death the world promo type stuff. So, I really like this. It was a nice use of Bray. I liked how he wasn't intimidated by Angle, and I like how Angle is serious, and he doesn't quite know what to do with Bray, but it's like, okay, you're not all there.
So what it did, basically, it was basically fully on reintroducing Bray Wyatt to the Monday Night Raw crowd, to that universe, because he now has finished up his SmackDown obligations with Randy Orton. It's like, now Bray Wyatt can be featured on Monday Night Raw instead of just here's a minute promo. Now Bray Wyatt has a purpose.
Yep.
The question, and as always with Bray Wyatt, his purpose is utter destruction and chaos and about controlling his world. Now that there is authority standing in his way, being Kurt Angle, it's up to Kurt Angle to decide whether he's okay with the destruction caused by Bray Wyatt. Or will he try to stop Kurt Angle's, Bray Wyatt's path of destruction with Kurt Angle? It leads to some interesting scenarios. Because we haven't really seen Bray Wyatt go up against the authority figure. On SmackDown, he just played it cool. He did what he wanted. He played by the rules. Or his own rules. But he never challenged authority. And even when he was, before the brand split, he really never challenged that authority.
He always, if anything, because the authority on the shows prior to the brand split was always heels. So Bray tended to work with, to an extent, Hunter and Stephanie with the authority and sort of gain things from the authority by sort of doing their bidding, you know, in terms to when it came to beating up people. So, you know, you saw that where it's like Bray worked with them, but it wasn't like he was a lackey of the authority. It was, okay, well, we're going to have this peaceful coexistence where you do what we want, and in exchange, you're going to get something from us. And I think that may have been what was, you know, just for storyline's sake, probably what was going on between Bray and Brian on SmackDown. Brian's like, look, you're here, so I don't screw with you.
You don't screw with me. We'll all live in a peaceful environment. But now Bray's back on Raw, and he's confronting Kurt Angle. Bray's going to be up to no good now.
Here's the thing, is it's like, okay, so you look at the authority figures that Bray sort of had to deal with in the past. So it was Hunter and Stephanie.
Mainly Stephanie.
He's not going to challenge Steph. He knows better. He just knows.
When the time is right, he would challenge, but it was never time.
It was never time, and it was something of, she's not going to take that crap off of him. Then he goes to SmackDown, and it's Brian and Shane. Again, when a McMahon is in the mix, he's not necessarily going to challenge, because it's, you know, Shane. Shane is a McMahon. Shane has proven himself that he's not going to take that from anybody. So it's like, okay, you don't want to necessarily mess with Shane. Angle is different. Angle is someone that Bray has never met, he's never dealt with. And just in the way that Angle's demeanor is and the way that he's carrying himself, Angle is very naive. He's acting or playing this very naive, very innocent sort of character, where Bray is looking at that going, I can take advantage of this. I can work this.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, because he's thinking Angle's going to be a pushover, because right now Steph isn't there, and while the cat's away, the mice are going to play. And even when Steph comes back, I don't, as long as Bray does not cross Steph, he's good to do whatever the hell he wants. And I think that's why it was he came out to more warn Angle of, look, I've always had free reign, you're not going to stop that, got me? That's really what that was of, you're not going to GM me, you're not going to rule me, you're not going to own me.
Right.
I'm here because I'm here, but it's my world.
Mm-hmm.
This is your show, but it's my world.
And it's just sort of something where there's intrigue. There's very much intrigue in what's going on with this. It could lead to something down the road. Could we finally see Bray Wyatt challenge that authority and...
God, I hope so.
Give Kurt Angle this sort of... Drag Kurt Angle out of the suit and put him back in the ring.
I think you could tell a different story with Kurt and Bray.
Oh,
one that you've never told before.
Oh, you definitely could. But just imagine the idea of a Kurt Angle Bray Wyatt match in general makes you go, okay, sign me up for that. I'm good with that. But you could tell a lot of different stories with it.
I can see Bray being the constant thorn in Kurt's side, where it's he gives Kurt a run for his money in terms of being a troublemaker, and it's kind of like Kurt finally has no choice but to deal with Bray himself. Like, basically, Kurt, I think, exhausts every other means to get Bray to fall into line, and so it's, okay, well, I'm tired of this, I'm tired of dealing with your crap, I'm gonna take care of you myself. If you think I'm weak, if you think I'm a pushover, you're wrong. Because, I mean, it's like, if you look at Bray in terms of WWE, where they don't talk about the TNA run for Kurt Angle, Kurt Angle's timeline stopped in, what, 2007?
2006.
2006. So for 11 years, Kurt Angle hasn't been in WWE. So in terms of Bray Wyatt, he wasn't around in WWE in 2006. So it's like, okay, well, yeah, you know, you're a Hall of Famer, you're a legend, but you're retired. You're not a threat to me. You have a broken neck. You're not going to hurt me. There's nothing you could do to me.
Exactly.
You know, Bray's young and cocky and stupid to some extent. Whereas Kurt's, you know, it's sort of this, the younger generation challenging the older generation. We saw it with Roman and Taker. We could see it with Kurt and Bray.
We could. And I really did love how receptive the crowd was to Bray Wyatt tonight. I was worried because, like, I was really worried about how the crowd would react based on everything you read about the House of Horrors. And again, we'll talk about it in detail Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern on the Rack. I was worried on how the reaction would be tonight, because I knew Bray could recover and get the fans back, so I was happy they gave him the opportunity to be in front of the crowd and be vocal, because that's when he's engaging at his best. The backstage 2-minute promos are great, but when he's in that ring and he has all eyes on him, he knows how to get the crowd invested in him, which is something he hasn't been able to do in about 6 weeks from now. 6 weeks.
No, he hasn't. I mean, he's always better live than on the video screen, because he feeds off the crowd. He feels that energy, and he has that ability to take that energy and push it back out to the crowd and just do his thing, which is great, which is awesome. And I mean, I think the reaction to Bray is not necessarily a reflection of the House of Horrors, just like I don't think the House of Horrors is a reflection on Bray. If you have any problems with the match, I think it's more the way it was booked. But we will talk about the full match on Thursday. I don't want to get into it here, but I don't think it's, you know, people look at that and go, this is not Bray's fault.
No, I don't think they ever thought it was his fault. I was just worried that he would be put in a position where he wouldn't be able to capitalize off that opportunity from the House of Horrors, and they wouldn't give him the chance to connect with his people. And tonight he was able to connect with his people, and I thought it was really well booked. And it leaves so much open for the future, whether it's with Kurt versus Wyatt, or whatever Wyatt, they have Wyatt do. again, as I said at the beginning of this, it was a great reintroduction for Bray to the live universe on Monday Night Raw.
Yep.
In a roundabout way, this takes us to our main event. Seth Rollins, Miz, and Finn Balor for the number one contendership for the Intercontinental title, and these three men tore the house down.
This was a fantastic match. I need more of these. Because this was so, so good.
There's a lot of talk. Miz isn't a great wrestler. Miz had his working shoes on tonight. He was awesome. No pun intended. Finn Balor was great. And then you had Seth Rollins just working his ass off. He was diving and splashing and kicking and everything. This was perfect. All three men sold it well. We had numerous near falls. The Falcon Arrow for after the superplex. We had the dives through the ropes. We had, you know, figure fours. We had 1916s. We had everything you wanted. And so it was just really, really well done. So Seth Rollins does the dive on the Finn and dive on the Miz, and he's rocking and rolling. And then the man Samoa Joe shows up and just slams him down to the ground on the outside, taking Seth Rollins out of this matchup. Then Miz is back in the ring. Balor catches him with the sling blade, the running dropkick, and he's going up for the coup de grace. And then the Bray Wyatt screech happens, and Bray Wyatt shoves Finn Balor down off the top rope, hits him with Sister Abigail, and the screech hits, and Wyatt disappears. And the Miz covers Finn Balor for the 1-2-3. Your winner and new number one contender, The Miz.
This was a nice finish. Very nice finish.
You had the run-ins when they were needed, because now you've set up everything, the directions you're going, which is what you needed. You just set up three feuds right there. You finally solidified Ambrose versus Miz as a feud. You've also sort of earmarked Miz versus Finn Balor for down the line. You started Finn Balor versus Bray Wyatt. And you continued Seth Rollins versus Samoa Joe. You now have three top feuds to go along with Roman Reigns and Braun Strowman on Monday Night Raw. You have the hot women's division right now with Alexa Bliss as the champion. If this was a 2-hour show, it would be a fantastic 2-hour show. You also have Cesaro and the Hardy Boys kicking it up a notch now. Like, there's a lot of things positive for Monday Night Raw if it's booked correctly. But I liked how overall the show, you've now solidified who your main eventers are on the show. Ambrose, Miz, Wyatt, Rollins, Balor. I'm missing one person. Wyatt.
Ambrose.
Ambrose. Ambrose, Wyatt, Miz, Balor, Rollins, Joe. Those are your main eventers to go along with Roman and Braun. That's a very nice stacked up card. You could do Wyatt and Joe on the same side. Wyatt and Joe as a matchup down the road. You could do Wyatt and Rollins at some point. You could do Rollins and Finn again. Like, there's matchups galore right now that they're working. This was good.
I like it because, like you said, there's matchup galore, but there's also you don't necessarily need a title involved in the matchups. A title is nice, but you can only have so many people feud over the title. So I like how we've now removed the Universal title from the picture for a little bit to concentrate on building the bottom roster, to build people for Brock to face. Because, I mean, right now it's like it's Braun and Roman and that's kind of it. You need a line of people waiting for Brock to come back. So I like that. I like it's like, well, since Brock's gone, we're all going to fight over the IC title, which elevates the IC title and makes it more important because it's now the only singles title for the men on Raw.
For every week, the Intercontinental title is the main title. Now you have what the world title used to be, the special attraction belt that was not always on the line back in the day. It was always on the line on the big shows. So it meant something. So now we're going to get some big show moments out of the Universal title when he defends that Great Balls of Fire against probably Braun Strowman, and then probably at SummerSlam against maybe Finn Balor or Seth Rollins. And then whoever doesn't beat him there, whether it's Finn or Seth, you can do down the road in October at Hell in a Cell or whatever, or at Survivor Series. Like, you're setting up the challengers to get to Roman before Roman fights Brock at WrestleMania. The hard part, so that part of the situation is solved. for the title picture. It's finding a way to distract Roman after that will be the hardest problem they have. If that makes sense. Sort of?
It does. No, it does.
Because you're setting up the contenders, but now you got to distract Roman. And how you do that, who knows. But that's the Raw post-show. Tomorrow night, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow, WTR Sims, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll have all the matchups that you were going to see last week, see this week, and so much more. It's WTR Sims, twitch.tv/RackRadioShow. Thursday night, it's another edition of The Rack.
That's right. We have news, we have notes, we have NXT, and we are going to be talking all things Payback. We'll let you know who won, who lost, and our thoughts on the House of Horrors match. You don't want to miss it. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Check out The Rack Extra Total Divas Season 6, Episode 14, now available. Episode 15 will be available Thursday afternoon. Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. YouTube.com/RackRadioShow is a place to be for 5 days of WWE 2K17 content, including the archives of WTR Sims, Saturday Night Main Edition, CB Radio, The Weird, The Wacky, The Unusual, How Say What, The Great, The Great Debate. Marvel characters, go back and listen to last week's episode where we talked TV dramas for the Greater Great Debate, and we went back in Rob Drunken History, and so much more at CB Radio Saturday Night's Midnight-ish. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com. Hashtag Blame Rob When a Celebrity Dies. Sunday at Wrestle Talk Radio, 10 p.m. Eastern. WTR Sunday on Facebook and the Twitter. We'll be back next Monday for the Wild Push, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Coming soon to WildTalkRadio.com will be a review of the book of the top 10 book of lists that we've been using on CB Radio Live every Saturday night. So we'll have a review up coming soon this week to WildTalkRadio.com, at WildTalkRadio, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
You can follow me on Twitter at LensWard, LENSWRD. You can go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LensWard, same as the Twitters.
Thanks to Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. And a big shout out to everyone who supported the Headlock comic Kickstarter. They reached their goal. It's awesome. Our buddy Michael Kingston. Thanks to everyone who supported and put up with us, you know, spamming out the tweets and everything, trying to help support the man.
Congratulations, Michael. We're proud of you.
So there you go. This has been another edition of Rob Posher live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack. Right back here at 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
See all these lights, they're glowing. Hear all these people cheer. Feel all the love that's flowing, all just because I'm here. Get up and on your feet, get your hands up in the air. Watching all my faces spread down, watching all hands in the air.
Wild Talk Radio.